May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When was the last time that you went camping? Not the setting up in the backyard kind, but the multi-day on the trail kind. I must confess it has been a very long time for me. In fact, I don't particularly care for camping, though my husband and many of my friends love it. Hiking, sure. I love walking in the woods. But camping, well, I'd prefer a bed. It seems like there is so much you have to carry when you camp. So many needs to be taken care of along the way. Listening to friends who do camp tell stories from the trail, it is clear that both wild beasts and angels abound in the wilderness they encounter. There are beasts that blunder outside your tent and the beasts that lurk within your mind. A bear sighted a little too close for comfort, perhaps, or an old memory that resurfaces from the depths. And there are angels, trail angels, the people who stock shelters with extra food or fuel, other hikers met along the way who become companions for a time. Or those most mysterious angels, the kind who wrestle, share a meal, or even offer an invitation into a new life before disappearing. In the wilderness, out on the trail, we come very close to God and to ourselves in ways that are not available to us in everyday life. We are made aware of what we carry out there. We are made to let go of the burdens that hinder our survival. There is no room for them in our packs. In the wilderness, we are invited to carry only that which brings us life, that which brings us closer to God. Lent is often a season associated with the wilderness. In Mark's Gospel, we read that after being baptized by John, the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Afterwards, after his cousin John was arrested, Jesus returned to Galilee, proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God had drawn near, that it was time to repent and believe. In Mark's telling, we don't get very much information about what Jesus' wilderness experience was like, though Matthew goes into more detail in his version. But the Jewish community that Jesus was a part of, the people of Israel who were living in Galilee at that time, had a tradition of story surrounding the wilderness. The people of Israel had journeyed through the wilderness before, after all. And throughout their journey, alongside the tension and the conflict and the grief that can come with any prolonged and trying family trip, especially one without convenient rest stops and snacks, throughout their journey, or really journeys, through the wilderness, was God's covenant. In fact, in all our readings from Hebrew scripture this Lent, we are invited to reflect on God's covenant with Israel. In each of these readings, the wilderness is present, either immediate to the story or close by. Covenant and wilderness, back and forth, all mixed together. In today's reading from Genesis, we find Noah, who has only recently passed through the watery wilderness of the flood. God establishes God's covenant so that never again will God cut off all flesh with a flood. God binds God's self not only to humanity, but to every living creature. Next week, we will meet Abram and Sarai in the moment that God makes God's covenant with them, promising that they will be numerous and give rise to nations. Abram becomes Abraham, and Sarai becomes Sarah. They are transformed by God's promise. Their family of two promise to grow to many more. And their particular people become God's people. Later on, we will encounter the Ten Commandments delivered after Moses leads the people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And later still, we will hear a piece of Israel's journey through the wilderness in Numbers, when the people, frustrated with God, rebel, only to be forgiven and returned to God. On the final Sunday in Lent, the prophet Jeremiah predicts that the days are coming in which God will make a new covenant with God's people, when the law will be written on their hearts and their people will all know God. In each of these stories, the people have experienced a wilderness of some kind, ranging from physical to emotional to societal to spiritual. And in each of them, God is present. God's covenant remains. It could be easy to write off the wilderness as a desolate place to be avoided at all costs. As a non-camper, I am tempted to do that sometimes. Nice to visit, I think, but please don't make me stay. Setting up camp takes so long. And what if I can't light a fire? And anyway, I don't really want to lay down the things I carry. Some of them are so comforting, so comfortable, that they make my life more easy and more pleasant. If I can't journey with them, is the journey really worth it? Surely, I don't need the wilderness. But to write off the wilderness would be a misrepresentation. It's part of creation. Part of the world God created, and whether we want it or not, part of our lives. It's part of the biblical witness, too. We all wind up in the wilderness for different reasons. Some of us go there on our own, seeking something. Others are led there. Still others are forced there. And I don't want to discount the difficulty of being lost in the wilderness. Certainly, as Christina preached on Ash Wednesday, some of us feel like we have been there for a long time. But just like she said, our wandering is not in vain. The season of Lent underlines our permanent need for the wilderness, Sister Benedicta Ward writes. Our lives are filled with devices and desires. Lent asks us to resist their temptation. So much of our culture tells us to give in to it, to accept as gift things that deal death. But in the wilderness, we cannot carry them. We are traveling too far. And so in Lent, we are invited to lay them down and to rest again in God. As a season, Lent is a time apart, a time set out when we intentionally consider how we live with God and how God lives with us. This is a serious matter, and sometimes it is discomforting. But just because Lent is a serious matter, Sister Benedicta writes, it does not have to be a gloomy one. We are not pretending in Lent that Christ is not risen from the dead. The light of Easter shines through the whole of Lent so that it brings a bright season of lightness, of running the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. We are bound to God in a covenant that is eternal, even when it feels strained or far away. We have been created, the theologian writes, in the image of one who camps in our midst. Jesus is there in the wilderness with us, setting up camp alongside us, baptized with us, hungry and angry and joyful and tired with us too. And when he feels far away, we look to one another, meeting Christ and our companions on the way. Earlier this week, as I was experiencing my own internal wilderness, I met Christ at the grocery store. I arrived at my register, and there she was, ringing up my groceries. I did not know it was Jesus then. But as I drove home, I thanked God for the conversation. Our small, excited exchange filled with interest and care. It was so human and so divine. Christ before me when I did not even know it, proclaiming the good news of life. When Jesus returned from the wilderness, he proclaimed the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The kingdom of God draws near. It is all around us. The good news is proclaimed in ways big and small, intimate and gigantic. And we are invited to lay down our burdens and go out into the wilderness with Christ. There are wild beasts there, to be sure. Some fierce, some beautiful, some both. There are angels, too. Some of them we will never know. Throughout our time here, here in this wilderness of Lent, here in this wilderness of the last year, in whatever personal wildernesses we currently roam. Throughout our time here, when it is hard for us to remember and when it is the first thing on our mind, we are held in God's covenant. God is camping with us now and in the years to come. Amen.